Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Northern Westchester. I am Patricia Compton. Nope, that's right, you can stay. Thank you for quieting down. We'll begin our service with the prelude.
Have we switched it?
Since I began. Todd, join me, please. I am Patricia Compton, and this is Todd Diston. We are co-presidents of the Board of Trustees of this congregation. We welcome you, especially if you are new to us this morning. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can separate people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting us, we encourage you to talk with anyone here, to take pamphlets out in our lobby area. We also invite you to join us for coffee hour, which will be happening after the service. We ask you now to please turn off all cell phones. That's always a good reminder. And today, I believe, is an intergenerational service, so we will all be staying in here this morning. I do believe there is childcare. Yes? This morning for young children out in the nursery. We are so happy this morning to be welcoming our new interim minister, Reverend Abigail Stockman. This is her first Sunday service with us, and we are delighted to have her here with us. We are looking forward to a challenging, growthful, inspiring year marked by open communication between us, mutual support, and shared ministry. We have a few thank yous and announcements this morning, since there are no announcements in the order of service. Recently, we had a cleanup organized day. We had a labor party that happened over Labor Day weekend. You might see some changes in the building, some cleanup issues in the building. We'd like to thank all of those who came and worked that day. It was a very productive day. Especially, we'd like to thank Scott Dyer and Catherine Dyer. Anne Dyer. I was going to say Catherine and Dyer didn't go together. Anne Dyer for doing some patching in the driveway. We'd like to thank people who came that day. We'd also take note that we have the Little Garden Preschool here. If children want to use the playground after the service, they will need to exit the front door and walk around the building to the playground. We need to be mindful of the nursery school and respectful of their things. And I believe you have some more announcements.
Good morning. We'll try to make this short and sweet. Two very important announcements. You may have noticed coming in at the bake sale today to raise funds for the hurricane relief. And I would invite you all to participate in that. Also, remember on September 24th, we have our Autumn Bazaar and the children's concert afterwards with Graham Clark. I didn't see Peg here today, but if you have any questions about Bazaar or would like to volunteer, please get a hold of Peg Clark. Or Vicki, yes. Thank you, Molly. And also I want to bring to your attention that next Saturday there is a Unity Made Visible, a seminar in celebration of prayer as seen through three faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. There's some flyers outside, and if anybody would like to participate, it's being held at the Fox Lane High School next Saturday. Other than that, I thoroughly give a heartfelt and a warm welcome to all. And Abigail?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be here. Each morning, we hold out the chalice of our being to be filled with the graces of life that abound, air to breathe, food to eat, companions to love, beauty to behold, art to cherish and causes to serve. They come in ritual procession, these gifts of life. Whether we deserve them, we cannot know or say. For they are poured out for us. Our task is to hold steady our chalice of being. We carry the chalice with us as we go, either meandering aimlessly or with destination in our eye. We share its abundance if we have any sense, reminding others as we remind ourselves of the contents of the chalice we don't deserve. Water from living streams fills it if only we hold it out faithfully. We give back, if we can, something of ourselves, some love, some beauty, some grace, some gift. We give back in gratitude, if we can. Something like what is poured into our chalice of being for those who abide with us and will follow. Each morning, we hold out the chalice of our being to receive, to carry, and to give back. Our opening words are from Richard Gilbert. And now we will have our choral invocation. Please hold out the chalice of your own being in fellowship with a handshake of greeting to your neighbor. Please rise in body or in spirit for our hymn, Chalice Lighting and Unison Affirmation. Let us join together. May the light
of this flame illuminate our lives and the strivings of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding.
Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth in love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with one another.
You may be seated.
Could I have all the kids come up to the front, please? We can have both young and old. Kid at heart. Whatever. And stuffed animals included. Just have a seat all around. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. Well, thank you for all coming today, and welcome. In honor of it being a Water Communion Healing Water Sunday, I wanted to read a book called Water Dance by Thomas Locker. Some people say that I am one thing. Others say that I am many. Ever since the world began, I have been moving in an endless circle. Sometimes I fall from the sky. I am the rain. See? Sometimes I cascade. I tumble down, down, over the moss-covered rocks, through the forest shadows. I am the mountain stream. At the foot of the mountains, I leap from a stone cliff, spiraling, plunging. I am the waterfall. In the shadows of the mountain, I am still and deep. I fill and overflow. I am the lake.
Don't see it. Look at the picture.
I wind through broad golden valleys, joined by streams, joined by creeks, I grow ever wider, broader and deeper. I am the river. I pass through a gateway of high stone palisades, leaving the land behind, cool silver moonlights. Sparkles and dances on my waves. I am the sea. Drawn upward by warm sunlight in white silver veils, I rise into the air. I disappear. I am the mist. In thousands of shapes I reappear, high above the earth, in the blue sky. I float, I drift, I am the clouds. Carried by winds from distant seas, I move, growing heavier, growing darker, returning. I am the storm front. At the wall of the mountains, I rise up as gleaming, power-filled towers in the darkened sky. I am the Thunderhead. I blind the sky with lightning. The earth trembles with my thunder. I rage. I drench the mountainside. I am the storm. Storms come. Storms pass. I am countless droplets of rain. Left floating on the silent air, I reflect all the colors of sunlight. I am the rainbow. I am one thing. I am many things. I am water. This is my dance through our world. So thank you so much for your attention, and I look forward to this fellowship here with you. Thank you.
Today, as we collect our offering, we will be sharing it between this congregation and the Unitarian Universalist Association and the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, who have joined together to provide a fund for the Gulf Coast Fund, to provide for the Unitarian Universalist survivors and victims and congregations that have suffered in Hurricane Katrina. We will also be using part of this fund, and I'm asking to go to the Unitarian Universalist Partner Council Church for our Unitarian churches in Transylvania, who on April 23rd were flooded out by 8 feet of water coming down the mountains. I'm not entirely sure I want to say that the part of today's collection will go to that. This may simply be an informative moment. But it will be being shared between the congregation and the UUA and UUSC, for short, Gulf Coast Fund. Please open your hearts and be generous in your giving. Our responsive reading is printed in your order of service. It is an insert. Let us begin. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins.
My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young.
I built my hut near the Congo and it lulled me to sleep.
I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset.
I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers.
My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
This is our time of sharing the personal joys and sorrows of our lives, deepening the connections of this community, of one to the other. If you have a joy or sorrow, please come forward, light a candle, and you may, if you wish, share with the gathered community.
This is a candle of joy and sorrow. This is for my friend. Ooh, there's no light. Okay. This is for my friend Jenny Norris, who's been a very important part of my life and the life of the fellowship for a long time. Joy that she's going to be moving closer to her grandson and their family, and sorrow that we won't be able to see her as often as we would like to anymore. Actually, I think you could probably say Jenny Norris was the reason I joined the fellowship, because Jenny was the chair of the worship committee when we first investigated the place, and she organized it so we had a new UU get-together right away and had a dinner to get us to come in and meet people, and she had this place running like, you know, everything was on time and everything was just right. Jenny really was the heart and soul of this place for a long time, and she will be greatly missed. She's not going to be that far away. She's going to be in Auburn, right? Auburn, Massachusetts, which is about 2 hours away. So some of us are going to organize field trips to go up and visit Jenny.
I'm Judy Parker, and I'd like this candle to honor the life of my uncle, Leon Hammerman, who died on July 29th. He was a fantastic man and a fantastic uncle.
It's a candle of sorrow for my friend Teresa Courtney Banks, who lost her battle with brain cancer on August 30th. And also a candle of joy for her grace and dignity in facing her death.
Good morning, everyone. For the sake of economy, we'll light one candle for two purposes. First, gratitude for all the returning faces, as well as the new faces, because we love new. The children, the parents, the singles, welcome. And secondly, Cecilia and I would like to dedicate this candle for some of the overlooked victims of the hurricane. the animals that were separated from their families in the hope that they get reunited soon. If you can, you should maybe try and donate. We did, to Best Friends.
My name's Nick Colombo, and I'm lighting a candle because we just got a new puppy. He's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel champ. He's about 4 months. We had him for a couple of weeks now.
I'm Jane Hewitt, and Jeff and I just took our youngest daughter, Laura, to college. So we're empty nesting along with a number of other people in the fellowship. And this week, I think that Jeff's mother is going to go into an assisted living facility, perhaps a nursing home. And so this is for all the people who are facing tremendous newness of place and people and all routines, all of those things. Hope in dealing with newness.
I'm lighting this candle for all the wonderful years I've had here, and I'll never forget you. And I hope maybe I'll see some of you again soon. Bye.
We love you, Jen. Stay with me a second.
Two applauses in one day. Wow. I'm lighting a candle of hope for a lifelong friend who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer this week. We'd been through a lot together.
This is a candle of hope for the 17-year-old daughter of my cousin, Jim. Her name is Lisa Valley. She and her parents were visiting colleges this summer, and she was tired and wasn't feeling well, so they took her to the doctor, and she was kept there because she has leukemia. I don't know much of the prognosis. She's 4 weeks into an 8-week cycle. And so she can use your prayers.
I guess that's a sign I have to light the big candle. Is fine. It's a good one to light. Is that all right? It's okay. I don't know. Is this an omen? Couple things this summer. I started on a new medication that's changed my life. It's I'm not entirely on it yet. We're going very slowly, but it's the main antipsychotic that I'm on. And now, like, people talk to me. I guess my face isn't as flat. And I'm more creative, I'm more motivated, I don't need to sleep all the time. It's been really life-changing. Unfortunately, this past week, another life-changing event has happened. My mother has an AVM in her brain, an arteriovenous malformation. And it bled, and she collapsed, and so she was in Columbia Presbyterian, and now she's in Burke Rehab, and it's affected speech center of her brain. So I love her. She's such a dear. Her personality is a lot more outgoing. It's less guarded. She's kind of wee, but she can't think of the words, and she's having a lot of frustration. Beyond that, it's really brought the family together. It was amazing. It's amazing what's happened this last week with my family and everybody doing whatever they do best to help the situation. Thanks.
I woke up this morning to the reading of the names of the 9/11 victims. So this is for them and their families.
I am wearing this morning Mardi Gras beads, courtesy of our friend Dan Simmons, who is our resident Mardi Gras head in the congregation. I'm also wearing the lieutenant's bars that belong to my cousin, Lieutenant Paul Mitchell, who was a New York City firefighter and left us today. And I'm lighting this candle a little bit for him, but I am lighting this candle for both the families in New Orleans and the families from September 11th for whom those disasters tore their families apart rather than brought them together. It happens. It happened in my family. And so this candle is really mostly for my Aunt Rosie, who has endured. And she's my hero for strength and courage and perseverance, for enduring the loss of her son, as well as the loss of her family, her daughter-in-law, and her grandchildren, who, because of everyone's own grief, was unable to come together and rather fell apart. And I'm sure that's happening in New Orleans. So I light this candle for all of them.
My name is Graham Clark. I'm a member of this fellowship. I'm going to light a virtual candle because there are no more candles left. But it's one of thanks and gratitude for this fellowship. Peggy and I hosted an Artist's Way group and a God's Politics group over the summer. And it's nice to fill your house up with people that you like. You know, it's a good thing. And one of sorrow, my dog Plato died over the summer. Some of you may remember, he was the white one. He got a brain tumor and was very quick. And he went peacefully, but we're still pretty sad about it.
I too will light a virtual candle for the choir, for singing at my ordination next week, and for this fellowship in general, for your support. Thank you all. And you're all invited to the ordination. It's next Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Stanford congregation. And just let me know if you're going to attend. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Kathy Gallagher. I'm lighting another virtual candle. So nice that there's so many candles here today. One of joy and sorrow. My mother-in-law, I have a new mother-in-law. I got married this summer, so I have a mother-in-law of about 6 weeks. She's terrific, and that's a joy. And the sorrow is that she's just been diagnosed with throat cancer. So, candle burn.
Hi, I'm Joel Knapp. This is my daughter, Jessica Knapp. In the spring, we lost my mother to cancer, and we lost my mother-in-law. My mother is Sophie Knapp, and my mother-in-law is Marie Latari. So just a virtual candle in their memory and in their honor. And you want to say something, Jeff? No? Okay, thank you.
I'm Merle Kitchen. I may have said this before. You have friends for a reason, for a season, and for life. One of my dearest life friends, founder of the business I was associated with for 35 years and a friend for 50, Rear Admiral Navy Supply Corps Bernard Browning, died of pancreatic cancer this summer. I attended his funeral services, and because he was of military rank, as well as a very successful small businessman who set up a franchise business with many, many franchisees and affecting many businesses over the years, he was recognized with all of the pomp and circumstance of a Arlington National Cemetery funeral. I shall miss him.
I will light a final candle in spirit for those names that we have heard today. May we hold them in our hearts, and for those which still remain in the silent sanctuaries of our own hearts. In the presence of whatever it is that calls us together, spirit, to some the unnameable and unknowable, to others a sense of enduring mystery, the spirit of life and love, the connection which moves within, among, and beyond us. Let us open our hearts to those who have lost so much, to so many who have lost loved ones, to the people of the Gulf Coast, to the people of Transylvania who have lost their homes and their churches and their communities. To those of us who face daily challenges and changes we did not ask for, we did not invite, we don't understand sometimes. Those families who still, 4 years later, face the changes from the acts and losses of September 11th, 2001. May we find here in this space, may we find in ourselves and in community the strength and courage to face the unknown, to face the changes in our lives. May we know that there is great courage and strength in tears and sadness and vulnerability, that the greatest strength and courage comes in reaching out and allowing others to help us, for that is our gift to them. May our hopes for a good future in the face of change help to shape it so. May we also be thankful for the bounty we do have. The bounty we are to ourselves and to one another, and the bounty of community that we share. Let us sit for a few moments in silence and then with some music as we seek to encounter the deepness within our own souls.
Thank you.
healing waters. Shall we gather by the river? I've known rivers. Gather with the saints by the river. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. The rivers are indeed ancient. The water was here before any human beings. In the beginning, says the Hebrew Bible, the gods created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the gods was moving over the face of the waters. The story of our beginnings, as told in the Hebrew Bible, is just one of many, many creation stories that sets the water upon the earth before the arrival of life. The Greeks set water as the source of creation for the land of the gods, as does the ancient Hindi scripture, which tells of a great sea from which the first gods took their form. All life comes from water. A scientific rendering of the story of the beginning of life from the universe story sounds like this. Earth's groping into new worlds of possibilities was most intense where the surface cooled enough for liquids to remain and thus allow a triple interaction. Planet-sized currents of molten matter boiled up from Earth's core to meet the turbulent action of the seas and the charged ions of the atmosphere. Out of this multidimensional cauldron, new beings emerged. Thus wrote Brian Swim and Thomas Berry. The rivers are indeed older than the flow of human blood, and in each of us there is a tiny river. More than half of our own bodies are composed of water. Our connection to the water lies deep within each piece of DNA, each cell in our bodies. Inside those tiny human microchips lies the memory of our primal connection to the waters of creation. The plasma portion of our bodies is 92% water. We are deeply connected to water. Each human life begins in the water inside our mother's bodies. So it seems fitting that we should begin our worship year with a service about water. We begin with the primal source, the element that makes life possible, the element that connects all of life to each other. And as we know, water is also a source of power and strength. Herman Melville comments on this paradox about water. There are times of dreamy quietude, he wrote in Moby Dick, when beholding the tranquil beauty and brilliancy of the ocean's skin, one forgets the tiger heart that pants beneath it, and would not willingly remember that this velvet paw but conceals a remorseless fang.
The tiger's heart has beat greatly this year. And yet, we go to the river, to the ocean, to the lake, to the waterfall, to our water that is a source of our renewal and solace. We go to find solace in the water that dances throughout our world. It is in these places that we may find ourselves reconnecting to what is essential and elemental in ourselves and in our lives. And in reconnecting, we seek to heal the hurts and the rifts of life, the hurts and rifts of loss of connection through death, through broken relationship, through disease, through loss of any kind. Loss such as occurred through acts of terrorism on September 11th in 2001. As Unitarian Universalists, we understand our work together to be a quest for truth. We call it a sacrament in our affirmation. Our human need to connect, our seeking about, around, and in water may be one of those truths. Today, we will share about that connection by combining the waters that have touched us deeply, the waters that have called us to reflect or experience a deepening of our own souls. We might think of deepening souls as groping into new worlds of possibilities, of new creation, of healing creation. We might think of ourselves as coming together in religious community to quest for the truth as a way to grow our own souls deeply. To deepen our souls is to grow in experiences that teach us. We might think about that, some of us, sort of like the same way that Harry Potter and Ron and Hermione grow their own souls every time they encounter an adventure and have to come to understand new things about the world, new things about good and bad. That is a way in which we learn to grow our souls. When Langston Hughes refers to growing a soul, he is not referring, I think, to a Christian soul, a soul you may have learned about in catechism or Sunday school, not the soul of some afterlife that could be condemned to have lived justly or unjustly. Hughes's soul is one, I think, that we Unitarian Universalists can affirm. It is a connection to the depth within ourselves and the sense of connection to all of life, past, present, and future, a groping toward new possibilities, a chance to find greater depth than we imagined possible. It is fitting that we begin with water. That is the essence and the very center of our being. To grow our souls deep is what I believe many of us mean when we use the word spiritual or spirituality. We are seeking to grow our souls deeper. The water we bring today comes from rivers and seas and lakes and wells and reservoirs and underground springs and perhaps even from our imagination. Places that have been a part of this earth for centuries, for millenniums, that have seen the battlefield of the Civil War, or the village of a Native Americans before any European ever stepped foot on this continent. We bring in this water our personal histories, and we add them to the collective history of this congregation so that this congregation may grow its own soul deeper. I invite you now to come forward and pour your water into this urn, real or virtual. You may, if you wish, share the source and meaning of the water that we may bear witness to one another's experiences. For some of you, this portion of our service may feel like finding yourself as a fish in the stream of life. Some of you may feel like frogs, others like reeds, others like currents, and if you don't care to stand up, feel free to be a rock. I invite you to come forward. I actually will begin. This is virtual, real water, but virtual water from my family's and our new home in Irisburg, Vermont, where the water comes from deep and very clear wells, and the whole community owns them together. You buy into a cooperative share of the town well. It is truly my neighbor's business if I use too much water.
Okay, you want me to open this? Sure. This is Joel Knapp again with family, Stephen and Jessica Knapp.
If you can hear me, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. This is water right here from Mount Kisco, so virtual water. And just, I think, most symbolic of the losses we had, again, both grandmoms to, wait, Steve, I think you do it after, right? So, okay, if you want to pour it in, go ahead, Steve. But again, I like something Jane said, out of losses, it's again, a new beginning. So, here's to new beginnings and, both, grandparents, grandmothers are in a better place and to new beginnings. All right. Thank you.
Water from our kitchen tap, representing salt water from Frenchman's Bay, where we've had many, many wonderful memories in Bar Harbor, Acadia National Park, Maine. Good girl.
This represents water from the Lamoille River in northwestern Vermont, and thanks to the river for not drowning my family while we were canoeing.
I can explain this on a need-to-know basis. got Martha's Vineyard, Vermont, and Paul Farges' forehead.
This is water from the Kuiper Observatory in Tucson, Arizona, and my best friend's house in Columbia, Missouri.
Water from Glacial Outwash in Alaska and from Glacier Bay, teeming with life.
Yes. Okay. All right. This is virtual water from Krause Springs, which has beautiful waterfall in the hill country outside Austin, Texas.
That was water from Savannah, where I have a nice new little apartment, and I plan to get away quite often.
Water from the coast of the great state of North Carolina, now being lashed by Ophelia.
This is water from our trip to Canada, where we went to Montreal and Quebec, and Julia wanted this to be the water from the Montmorency Falls, which were just beautiful.
This is water from Cape Cod and Nantucket. Very much enjoyed.
This tap water represents the lake water from my camp and the kitchen water where my sister worked.
It also is representative of water from Galway Bay in County Galway, Ireland, where we reunited with members of Michael's family, and the River Liffey in Ireland, where we ended our trip in Dublin.
And this is water from Block Island and Star Island and our construction site.
Rebecca and I did a lot of traveling this summer, and this is representative of water from several lakes, Moon Lake, Lake George, and also from Saratoga Springs. And we also went fishing on Saranac Lake with my parents, and I went to three different places, San Diego, Denver, and Toronto, and Lake Ontario was amazing. Thank you. Oh, yes. And Rebecca went to Scotland, her first time away that far, first time in Europe. Thank you.
This represents water from Lake Otsego in Cooperstown, where we went to the Glimmerglass Opera Festival, from Akron, Ohio, and from Cuyahoga Falls, where high above the Cuyahoga River, we celebrated my niece's graduation from the University of Akron, which used to be a Universalist college.
That water is from the West Coast, Pacific Coast, off San Francisco, Cape Cod, off the East Coast, Fort Worth, Texas, Vermont Springs, and finally Denali National Park, where Dawn and I had the most fabulous week of hiking.
This water is also from the Pacific Coast in Oregon, from the Dee River, which is reputed to be the shortest river in North America, and also from the lakes and streams of several golf courses where golf balls of mine now reside.
This water represents the River Seine and the River Thames from Paris and London, where we had a wonderful trip.
This is actual water from White Pond, a new clear lake that Jeff and I discovered at the border of Putnam and Dutchess. Wonderful to swim in. And also water from the River Kwai in Thailand. And the sense of the Buddhist traditions in that country were wonderful. Wonderful.
This water represents water from Colorado. A highlight of ours this summer was Jeff's and my niece Alyssa's cousin got married in Colorado, right along a river, and it was beautiful. Thank you.
This water represents the waters of the North Atlantic from Newport, Rhode Island, and Seal Harbor in Maine. It also represents water from Lake Warreau in Quebec, where Simone went to camp, and also water from the rivers Thames and Stroud in England.
This water is from Rose Lake in Pennsylvania, where Elizabeth spent a nice summer at her summer camp.
This water is from the Atlantic Ocean, 10 miles out
off the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I went to Star Island with two of my oldest grandsons.
This is water from Sand Beach at Acadia, Maine.
I'm borrowing a bit of Greg's water to tell you, it suddenly occurred to me when we were driving here today that it was on September 11th, 9 years ago, that I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And have gotten wonderful, wonderful help from the fellowship. More about that later on in the year. But it just suddenly occurred to me.
This is water from a creek in Funstock Park. Nurturing water just flowing in Putnam County.
This is water from my national basketball tournament in Lexington, Kentucky.
And also from camping in New Jersey and from my kids talking me to doing King Ka, which is the fastest and tallest roller coaster in the world.
This is virtual water from Star Island Past last June and Star Island Future this coming week.
Fountain at Downing Park in Yorktown. We spent a lot of time there this summer, and over the course of the summer, Reese has figured out how to go from sort of vaguely poking at it and thinking some water might drip out to being able to turn it and make a massive stream all over everything, and he filled that bottle up for us.
This is virtual water from the Seine River, where my son was much too busy watching the fireworks on the 14th of July to remember to get water from the river, and also from the Kennebec River in Maine, where we went rafting.
This is virtual water from Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota, where I fished and camped with my sister and brother-in-law, and from my swimming pool, where I've been swimming with my little grandson. And I know when I turn on the tap and clean water comes out, I think of those people in Louisiana, and it's...
That water represents water from Vermont, the Woodstock area, Keechee Gorge, my trip to Rhinebeck Omega, where I had an additional burst of creativity, and my home.
Waters of our journeys in this place of our gathering to bless it and bless one another. We gather for another year of being together in joy, in sadness, in creativity, and in loss. We begin again with the waters of life that sustain us. We combine these waters together. They will become our blessings on the comings and goings of this community in the year ahead. May the waters we have shared here bless all of us. And may this blessing extend beyond this place to bring blessings and peace to our broken and troubled world. Please rise in body or in spirit and remain standing for our final hymn, closing words, and extinguishing chalice.